I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the duck. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
Enjoy the show.
Yes, we hope you'll enjoy the show today because it is time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I trust you're ready for some very strange and fuzzy-looking geekiness. I don't know why I said fuzzy-looking. It's just one of those days. Anyway, the point is we've got some cool stuff for you on the podcast this week. By the way, you need to go to DrBill.cc, that's DrBill.cc, that is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, CC, see, computer curmudgeon, yes. Anyway, you need to go to that website because that website is a blog, and the blog has lots of posts, and the posts have information that you very well could need to read. Yes, that's somewhat rhymified, isn't it? Need to read. Ha. Anyway, there's stuff there that will be of interest to you, I am sure. Not the least of which is that we have in the upper right-hand corner a place that you may click upon and get a 30-day free trial of GoToMyPC. Yes, I'm mentioning GoToMyPC because Citrix Systems is the sponsor of this podcast, one of our primary sponsors, and we really appreciate them doing that. You need to take advantage of their offer, 30 days free trial of GoToMyPC. Click on that link. It'll take you to the place where you can get that 30-day free trial, and you will not regret it because it is an awesome program. Also, our Shameless Commerce Center. I would be negligent if I did not mention that if you click on the Shameless Commerce Center link, it will take you to the bottom of the page where you'll see all kinds of links that are very useful and very interesting, including the Amazon Kindle link. Get some money off on the Amazon Kindle and lots of places to save you money. So check them out. I mention all those things because that's what keeps the podcast on the air. On the air being relative, of course, since we are a podcast, not a radio program. Yeah. Well, anyway, we've got some geek culture for you. And this geek culture is in honor of the fact that this weekend, see, as I record this, this is Saturday, August the 16th. Yesterday, August the 15th, was the start of the new Star Wars movie. Yes, Star Wars animated, not live action, animated. It is the Clone Wars. Ah, back when Anakin Skywalker was still a good guy, although he was an edgy good guy, he had the dark side even then, kind of coming to the foreground just a little bit. But it was only enough to make him snarky. So, you should go watch this movie. It will be lots of fun. Now, I found some geek culture for us this week that has to do with Star Wars. It's notable for two reasons. One is, it explains the original Star Wars trilogy, which is technically episodes 4, 5, and 6, in 30 seconds. Now, the whole idea of this little clip is that in 30 seconds it explains the entire Star Wars first trilogy. And also, the other thing of note that I thought was cool about it is that it has the music from Star Wars, the disco version, which I remember back in the day when Star Wars originally came out, and Miko, M-E-C-O, Miko, came out with Star Wars done disco style. Yes. Oh, yes, disco days. I remember them. And I had the 8-track tape. 8-track tape. I had the 8-track tape of this music, and I played it very often. So let's listen to that. Ooh, it clicked there at the beginning. I didn't mean for it to do that, but there it is. There's the music. Star Wars Done Disco. Gotta love that. And now, in the next moment, 30 seconds that explains the entire Star Wars original trilogy.
Star Wars.
Nudity, clean the droid.
Tell me Obi-Wan.
I should save Leia.
All card personnel.
Obi-Wan, we need to get you.
I'm a ghost. Use the Force, Luke.
I can't. Okay.
No more Death Star.
I have you, Luke.
Part two. The Empire Strikes Back.
Where is Cole?
Ah, the Empire. Run away.
You're a Jedi like your dad.
Wow.
I am the father.
My hand.
Part three. Return of the Jedi.
It's Jabba.
Look, little bears.
Come to the dark side.
No.
Yes.
I can't kill you, Dad.
I am your father.
Leia, you're my sister.
Huh? I love you, her.
Thanks.
Oh, yes. Gotta love that, huh? Don't you like the Star Wars disco? Yeah. Brings back memories of being in a 1967 blue Volkswagen Bug with an 8-track player playing Star Wars going down the road thinking I was cool. Ha ha. Amazing how you think you're cool when you're really not. But at any rate, geek culture for you. I'm sure some of you are going, why did you inflict us with that, Dr. Bill? Well, it's because it's my job. Anyway, let's just go to the tech news, shall we? Okay. Licensing bug hits VMware users hard. Yes, I am a VMware certified professional in my day job at High Point Regional Health System. I am a manager of both the Citrix systems and the VMware system cluster, ESX server cluster that we have. And I got to tell you, VMware is awesome. Dude, it really is. And I like it a lot. But we had a licensing bug that caused the cluster to lose its VMware ESX license. Ooh, I put VSX. I should have put ESX. I'll fix that in the blog. So by the time you go look at it, it'll be fixed. But I just saw it and went, oh, no. Anyway, the ESX license expired August the 12th, and VMware has released a patch for it. Now, that's bad. Yes. So you need to get that patch, and you need to fix it, lest you reboot your VMware cluster and it not come back. That would not be good. Okay. Next item, Patch Tuesday update. There are more patches and fixes coming from Microsoft. Actually, they have come from Microsoft. We have passed Patch Tuesday. And you may have noticed that your PC, if you had it automatically set to get those patches, got the patches and then rebooted itself. Isn't it amazing how you leave your PC on overnight and Microsoft reaches out across the entire network, installs the patches, and then reboots it, and you had nothing to say about it? It makes you feel rather helpless, doesn't it? Well, anyway, the reason they did that is because these are very important patches. There's all kinds of evil things out there trying to compromise Microsoft systems, and of course, Microsoft Windows is lame. Particularly Vista. And one of these patches is for Vista. So I would encourage you to get these patches because they are very, very important. Okay, so if you don't get them now, you can't blame the doctor because I've told you that you need to get them. Yes, indeed. Matter of fact, if you don't get them, and I've told you to get them, and you didn't get them, then it's all on you. How's that? Oh, it's time for the Geek Software of the Week. And this week's Geek Software of the Week is for the true geeks out there that are using Linux. Now, if you're using Windows, just forget this. Go hum Star Wars disco version to yourself. But if you are a Linux user and you have been one of those people that have said, you know, I like Linux a lot, but it's hard to configure the firewall. The firewall just seems to be very difficult to configure because it's IP tables and it's got so many options. Well, now there's a Geek Software of the Week for you. It's called FW Builder. Now, here's the thing. You install this, and it gives you a graphical interface. And that graphical interface helps you configure IP traffic filtering. It can compile the filtering policy you define into many specifications, including IP tables, blah, blah, and various languages used by Cisco and Linksys routers. So if you have a Cisco or a Linksys router, and it has various special configurations, this will help you address that as well. It separates the actual policy you defined and the implementation of the way you should change what hardware is running your firewall without having to redefine your policy for that platform. And it is for Ubuntu hardware and Fedora 9 repositories. So there you go. There's also a one-click install for OpenSUSE 10.3, but not for version 11 yet. So they're a little behind, but they're getting there. So that's the Geek Software of the Week. Now, next item. Are you a Netflix user? Netflix is pretty cool. And they're getting a lot of market share. Matter of fact, they're making Blockbuster really sweat. Okay? However, this week, Netflix had some really bad problems. And it's caused quite a concern, even about their stock value. So, Netflix, basically, they're having problems with software in their distribution centers. So, if you order online and you download streaming video, you're not affected. But, if you order a Netflix, and they're supposed to send it within one day. You know, they have distribution centers, like 40 distribution centers all over the country. So no matter where you are, they're close to you. They can send it out very quickly. The problem is there's delays in those shipments, and it's really affecting users. Now, they have worked very hard to get that fixed. They now are addressing it, and they also say they're going to give a rebate to users on their monthly fee because of having this problem. So, you know, they're doing the best they can. You got to give them props that they're trying to make it right. So, if you're a Netflix user, don't go all ballistic. Just kind of chill. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There you go. All right, next item. This one affects me rather directly. I was very sad this week to get an email from the makers of Podcast Station. Now, to give you a little background, you may remember that when I got my new laptop some weeks and months ago, my new laptop is awesome, totally and completely awesome, and it has an enhanced sound system, but that enhanced sound system is designed for playback, not for recording so much. And so my older HP laptop actually was better for recording than my new Acer awesome, amazing, totally cool 17.2-inch screen, awesome 4 gig of memory, 160 gig hard drive, dual processor. I mean, it's awesome. But the sound card just won't record very well with the old way I did it. As a matter of fact, it didn't even recognize the software that I absolutely loved, which is Pod Producer. Now, Pod Producer is available at podproducer.net. Alfredo Romo writes that open source project, and Alfredo, props to you. Hola. He's from Mexico, and I appreciate Alfredo, and I appreciate that software. It's awesome, but it just wouldn't work with my new laptop. The reason being is that the laptop wouldn't work, the audio channel wouldn't work with recording. So, what I ended up doing is getting a USB sound card using that. Then I got really smart, and I got a Plantronics 500 headset, which is a USB headset that has its own separate from the computer DSP sound card built right into the cable. That's what I'm using right now, which is why my voice sounds so awesome. And anyway, that uses its own sound card. So basically, you have to have software. I'm dragging this story out, but the bottom line is you have to have software that allows you to pick the audio channel, because I can't use the internal laptop sound card. I have to use the external Plantronics headset sound card, the USB sound card, and I have to be able to designate that in the software. So I searched high and low, where could I find software that would do this? And sure enough, and before anybody writes me, listen, I know I could do it with Audacity, okay? Audacity will do it. It's awesome. It's open source. It's free. Dude, Audacity rocks. I use it all the time. That little Star Wars clip I did a while ago, I got it off the net by using Audacity to grab the sound of what I was listening to over the web. Okay? So I'm down with Audacity. It's cool. But Audacity would be hard to use to do the podcast because I'm always flipping, you know, little things in and out. You know, at any point in time, I might want to do...
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcasts.com. If it's tech, it's here.
Something like that, you see. Or I might want to hit the button a second time.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Now, you see, with Podcast Station, that's just a button that I hit. I don't have to do anything fancy or special or patch things together or do a whole lot of after post-production stuff. You know, I just do it live, and it makes me happy because as a strange and furry geek, I like to throw things at you just whenever I want to on the fly. So I wanted some software that would do this. And so Podcast Station, when I found it, I said, dude, this totally rocks. This is what I'm looking for. Now, I gave you all that information just so I could say that I got an email this week from the good folks that make Podcast Station saying that they were discontinuing the software. Oh, man! What they did is they sent out a message that said, "Dear friends of Podcast Station, sales, development, and support of Podcast Station has been discontinued, and Podcast Station software is no longer available. We appreciate the loyalty of our fans and hardcore users, of which I am one." Little side there. "But the simple fact is that the cost of maintaining the product has far exceeded its ability to generate income. For our registered users, we will be posting technical support facts on our Podcast Station site soon, including instructions for re-registration. You'll want to take down your links to PCS at the soonest opportunity." That's a quote. "We appreciate your support over the past 2 years with Podcast Station and helping us to get it into the hands of those who really enjoy using it. If you wish to contact us directly, sending queries to info@audionlabs.com. Best regards, Kimberly Brown, Audion Laboratories Incorporated." Now, Kimberly, thank you for an excellent product. Thank you for excellent support. This is a good company. Excellent support on the product. I really have enjoyed using it, and of course I'll continue to use it because there's nothing wrong with the software other than the fact that this is the last version. And I'm telling you, it's awesome software. You know, I kind of hope that there'll be a hue and cry and they'll reconsider and keep it going, but even if they don't, it really is good software. I've been really impressed with it. And so that was kind of a sad note for me this week that was no longer going to be produced, but at the same time, it kind of brings up a point that whenever you produce software like this, it requires time, effort, and energy. And if there's not enough people purchasing the product, returning on the investment to the people who are producing it, then, you know, sometimes they have to make business decisions, and I understand that. And I'm sure they're off pursuing other, perhaps more profitable venues. I don't know what it means about podcasting in general. You know, why wasn't there enough support for this particular product? Was it that they didn't get the word out about it, about how awesome it is? You know, was it because there's a lot of people that just say, well, you know, Audacity's free and it's good enough for me? I don't know. It was only like $59.95, so it wasn't like it was super duper expensive. But it's an awesome, awesome product. So anyway, I know some of you go, hey, Dr. Bill, I don't care. But, it brought up a lot of thoughts to me about the future of podcasting. You know, what does it mean? You know, could it be that we're on the decline? You know, I've been doing this for 3 years. Is it possible you people are getting tired of me? You know, I get emails, and some of the emails I've been getting, few people recently have sent me emails saying, oh, Dr. Bill, man, you are so funny. I love listening to you, dude. Oh, wow, I would miss your podcast. And I appreciate that. But, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, what if people start getting tired of listening to you? What if they think, Dr. Bill, you do the same thing every week? Well, you know, consistency is a good thing. I like the fact that there's something I can count on. You know, when I tune into Twit, I know you're going to have John C. Dvorak saying dvorak.org/blog. And most weeks he's there, and he says that, you know, and it just makes me feel good that there's consistency in the universe. And you're going to have, on Security Now, you're going to have Steve Gibson talking about how Microsoft is lame with their security and that they're a bunch of turkeys. I love that. That's good. I like to hear that, you know, because Microsoft is lame and they are a bunch of turkeys. Anyway, I have so far digressed that I have digressed my digression. At any rate, ooh, familiar music. Isn't that cool?
Space, the final frontier.
Yes. There's a reason I'm playing Star Trek music, and that is that this week it was announced that warp drive may be possible.
Enterprise.
I don't want to talk over William Shatner.
To explore strange new worlds.
So I'll wait.
To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yes, to boldly go where no man has gone before. That's what we're trying to do now, because some scientists have said that warp drive may in fact be possible. Now, how cool is this? They even say that by using dark energy, you can warp space into a bubble, a warp bubble, get it just like Star Trek talks about, and then we can travel faster than light at superluminal speeds, perhaps even infinitely. Now, in Star Trek, they had a barrier of you couldn't go faster than warp 9. You could go like 9.1, 9.2, but actually faster than warp 10 is maybe a better way of saying it. But anyway, cool. How cool is it that they said that warp drive may be possible? That's pretty awesome. Now, here's the thing. We know that Star Trek has already been pretty prophetic in the past because, you know, think about a cell phone. When you pick up a cell phone, you flip it open. Does that remind you of anything? Yes, Captain Kirk flipping open his cell phone, so to speak, his communicator. And think about Spock holding a pad. What does that look like? It looks like one of those pad computers, right, that Bill Gates is trying to push so hard and never did catch on. But they exist. And what about diagnostic beds in healthcare, where the patient lays down and without being hooked up to anything, they start getting diagnostics? They announced that just a few months ago. I saw it on TV. Now, what about all this? This is prescient, prophetic projecting of the technology that's now becoming available. This was done in the 60s, 1966 time frame. They were talking about things that just absolutely didn't exist at the time. And so now, there's been some talk about the possibility that teleportation might work. They've done some work at MIT where they've been able to take, you know, like, I think it's, I don't know, something like maybe a molecule, you know, something really small, and transfer it somewhere else. Actually, I don't think it appeared anywhere else, but it went away. Maybe it was more of a disintegration ray. But anyway, they're working with teleportation. Who knows? Maybe one day they'll come up with that. Now, if they do, I can guarantee you I ain't going to be one of the people that use it, because I don't want my atoms swooshed all around the universe. Me and Doc McCoy, man, we're peas in a pod on that. But anyway, but warp drive. Now think about this. Zefram Cochrane invented the warp drive in the year 2053. Now you say, how could he have invented it in 2053? 2053 hadn't come yet. Yes, but I'm talking about the Star Trek universe, where they're now in the 24th century in the Next Generation time frame. So anyway, the point is that these scientists, Dr. Gerald Cleaver, Associate Professor of Physics at Baylor, and Richard Obasee, have come up with this idea where they believe they can travel faster than speed of light without breaking the laws of physics. In their scheme, in the Journal of the British Interplanetary Society, they project that a starship could warp space, sound familiar, so that it shrinks ahead of the vessel and expands behind it by pushing the departure point many light years backwards while simultaneously bringing distant stars and other destinations closer. The warp drive effectively transports the starship from place to place at faster than light speeds. Dude. Now, they do say that it will take tons of energy to do this. It will take as much energy, as much force, as much whatever you want to call it, as the gravitation of Jupiter. Dude, in one little bitty spaceship. That's why they use dilithium crystals in Star Trek, and that's why they had a warp drive and that whole warp core going, whoa, 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 you know, looked real cool and glowed and all that. Anyway, that's why they had so much power, was to make warp speed travel possible, warping space-time and traveling faster than the speed of light. Now, what's really cool is the way they describe this is as a warp bubble, warping space-time, which is exactly what Gene Roddenberry used in Star Trek. I just think it is awesomely cool. Now, as I say in my post here, to be fair, I have heard noted physicist, theoretical physicist, and string theorist Michio Kaku talk about this on the Discovery Channel, and if you ever get a chance to hear Michio Kaku talk about something, he is an awesome lecturer, speaker, and he's a professor, and he talks about things like teleportation and warp travel, warp speed travel, and he actually says that those are much more likely technologies to actually come to pass than a handheld phaser. Now, you'd think the phaser wouldn't be that hard. I mean, we've got beam-type weapons now. They just take a whole lot of power, right? Well, he said that's the problem. The problem with a phaser is that the amount of power you would have to have in your hand would be like a fusion reactor in your hand, something I don't think you want to carry around, you know what I mean? So anyway, he said it's much less likely we'll have handheld phasers than it is that we'll have warp travel, warp speed travel. So, just cool stuff. And you know me, I like to get my geek on when it comes to these kinds of things. So, you gotta appreciate that the doctor likes having this kind of stuff to talk about. So, here's the thing. Here's what you need to do. Go to the blog, click on the links on all these stories that I've talked about, study them. As I said, get your geek on, but also don't forget this weekend to go see the new Star Wars movie, Star Wars Clone Wars. You know, we just had Star Wars in 30 seconds earlier in the podcast, so you've got the whole synopsis down, you're ready for it. And there you go. So, there's that music. It's time for the doctor to get out of here.